If you like this video and want to learn more about this kind of health topics, make sure to click the subscribe button and the notification button as well. So that's the tiny bell, so you will get a notification when a new video is out. I hope you enjoy this discussion. Comment below and let me know what are your thoughts on sauna, and do you use sauna, and how often do you use sauna? What are some of the benefits you have noticed for yourself? And let me know if you have any further questions. Hey, welcome back to my channel. I'm Inka Land, and today I'm here with my husband Siim again, and we are talking today about sauna bathing. And it's pretty interesting because not only it has like been researched quite recently, but it's also integral part of both of our cultures, and we've pretty much done it all our lives.
Yes, and we're gonna talk about pretty much what is the sauna, the different types of the sauna, what's the differences between them, what are the benefits, what's the research about sauna use, and how to do it, like what's the most optimal way to do it, timing, temperatures. So like part one here will cover those topics, and in part two we're gonna actually answer some questions that we got on Instagram about the sauna. That's gonna be on my channel. So part one is gonna be more like a guide, and part two on my channel will be just Q&A type.
So let's start with what is sauna bathing in the first place. There are different types of saunas, and like maybe many questions. What is what is it?
I mean, usually sauna refers to some form of like hyperthermia or hypothermic conditioning, which just means that you're elevating your body temperature above normal. So usually your like average normal body temperature, the homeostasis, is around 36.5 degrees Celsius or something like that. And hyperthermia, when you have a fever, that generally that is starting around 37 degrees Celsius, and the sauna causes this artificial hyperthermia in your body, which mimics like a fever. And that's actually most of the health benefits also come from that. So naturally fever is like a healthy response to an infection. We usually get the fever when our body is dealing with some sort of infection, and the kind of heat is supposed to kill the infection. And sauna is just like an artificial way to mimic that, which then also has like these other health benefits.
In Finland, basically where I'm from, the saunas are pretty similar in all houses. We have wooden sauna. Actually, almost every house in Finland has a sauna. Even if it's this kind of apartment building, there is a sauna in the cellar or in the rooftop, whatever it's called. There are saunas in the swimming halls, in all gyms, everywhere. Sauna is like very integral part.
And many of these, especially like northern and eastern European countries have this very common sauna culture. Probably because of, most time of the year it's cold, and the sauna is a good way to obviously heat up the body and get warm, but also, have like this, I guess it, through natural selection, these cultures developed the sauna bathing because it turned out it has these positive health benefits as well, which obviously the people in the past didn't know about, but they just observed through natural selection that, the sauna has a positive effect on many aspects of immune system function and just, well-being as well, which we'll cover shortly.
Yeah, and I have something to say about the sauna, but I already forgot, so we can go into the health benefits of sauna.
You like sauna?
I love sauna.
Yes, that's what you want to say.
So actually one thing is that, because there is like sauna, the dry sauna, the Finnish sauna. It's referred commonly as Finnish sauna, and you can even find Finnish saunas in... Well, we just recently went into the spa here in Estonia, and they had a Finnish sauna. You can find them. I've been to Finnish sauna in Spain, in Scotland, Aberdeen when I lived there, and like many places. So that refers to this kind of sauna where the humidity is very low, about 10-20%. And usually it's heated up to 80 Fahrenheit, 80 Celsius, which is 175 Fahrenheit. So this is the Finnish sauna that we mostly talk about.
Yeah, and usually there's this, oven in the middle, and the air is dry, and you just throw the water on the stove, which then causes this,
Yeah, so the temperature, yeah, there is a heat wave when you throw the water to the stoves and the temperature increases. We have also other sauna habits, but maybe we can talk about them later.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are infrared saunas, which has this like thermal heating. They have the infrared panels, and usually that goes up to 60 Celsius, which is how much Fahrenheit would that be?
Maybe 140, 150.
Something like that. Can be even lower. Like the benefits come from a little bit of the heat, but from the infrared as well.
Yeah.
And then there are steam saunas, which I'm not a big fan of because they are very high in humidity, and that kind of prevents you from sweating and it causes more distress to the heart and everything. So yeah, let's go through the sauna benefits.
So, yeah, I mean, probably one of the most significant breakthroughs or, I mean, like, realizations have to do with heart health and cardiovascular disease.
Mm.
So there's, like, you know, multiple Finnish studies in Finland showing that, yeah, people who take the sauna regularly have pretty much up to 63% reduced risk of cardiovascular disease mortality and 40% reduced risk of all-cause mortality. And they see that the people who take the sauna, and that applies to people doing the sauna 4 to 7 times a week compared to once a week. So even if you do it once a week, then you still have a 40% reduced risk of mortality if you do it 4 or more times per week, which is very you know, significant. Because imagine those who don't do the sauna at all, then the risk reduction is probably even double, or yeah, you know, at least 1.5 times greater.
I mean, the sauna in Finland, it's, for example, people just grow up using sauna all the time. Like when I was growing up, we went to sauna almost every day. And I still do. We still do go to sauna almost every day, whether it's the dry sauna or the infrared sauna. And yeah, the Finnish studies are quite remarkable. And now I think because of those, there is an increase in the dry saunas all around the world, basically. In Finland, it's kind of, you know, we can go up to, where I'm from, we go up to minus 20 Fahrenheit in the winter. So it's like very, very cold. So of course, when I was growing up, I wasn't thinking about, well, I'm going to go there and do something good for my heart. I was just like very cold. So it feels super relaxing. And so, okay, so that was the cardiovascular benefits. What else?
Well, the same applies to like hypertension, that the same trend, that 4 to 7 times a week is associated with much greater reduction than compared to once a week. You know, the sauna also helps with like insulin sensitivity and just overall immunity. So even like during World War II in Finland, they used the sauna as a, like a prophylaxis against typhus and pneumonia and other like these respiratory diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, we can talk about what is the mechanism of that, so that the heat elevates your body temperature, that kills off pathogens and bacteria, especially like tuberculosis and these other infections, which are associated with risk reduction in those diseases. But you, in response to the heat, you know, it's a stressor to the body, causes this hormetic stress, like this positive stress, and the body pretty much has to deal with the heat in some way, and it does it by activating these heat shock proteins that start to repair damaged proteins, misfolded proteins, and yeah, kill off like these, you know, different pathogens. What walks hand in hand with heat shock proteins is autophagy. So the heat shock proteins actually increase cellular autophagy, which clears out the cell junk, cell debris, and just, you know, dysfunctional parts of the cell, which just, you know, pretty much has like anti-aging effect. And yeah, a lot of the immunity comes from just the heat shock protein response. And in exactly, it's very funny that actually in like mice, if they you know, do the sauna before getting injected with some toxins, they actually live longer compared to doing no sauna at all. So this is called preconditioning hormesis. So your body is exposed to a small stressor, which is the sauna, and the following stressors, you're stronger against it. The same applies to like exercise. If you exercise regularly, then you have a greater, you know, protection against infections and all those other like, you know, toxins.
Yeah. So you basically mentioned two mechanisms, important mechanisms, which is the detox and the heat shock proteins. And you actually talked about the mice study where they are can tolerate more toxins after sauna. I found a study in policemen, in humans with the same mechanisms. I'm just going to dig it out so I can remember the some of the details. So they did expose policemen to employment-related drugs and toxicants, and then they did and then they did 4 to 6 weeks of infrared sauna with up to, it said, with up to 4 hours of sauna bathing daily, which it's like huge, but I mean it was infrared sauna, so no dry sauna that much. Anyway, after the sauna intervention, they relieved fewer, or those who got, who were in the sauna treatment group, they had better physical health, they have fewer sick days and more sleep hours and lessened neurotoxicity scoring. So also in humans there are some preliminary studies that it actually does, infrared sauna does reduce toxins, but I would assume that it also applies to dry sauna in some, you know, shape or form, because it's like make you sweat quite a lot, and that's
I mean sweating is the main detox pathway in the human body, so it's like a common myth that you can't sweat out toxins. Well, yeah, you actually can. Like there are many studies, like, you know, in Gulf War, the soldiers, they were exposed to a lot of these burning tires and burning chemicals or whatever, oil and stuff, so they were pretty, you know, full of these toxins, and they developed this called Hubbard protocol, which is nice in exercise and sauna. You sweat a lot, and you do see like excretion of sweat, of these toxins through sweat, and the excretion of all these toxins is much greater in sweat than it is in blood or urine. So yeah, like sweating is the main pathway that you excrete toxins, and yeah, like doing some form of hyperthermic conditioning and sweating on a regular basis is pretty much the best way, or it's almost like the only way to you know, rid yourself of these modern chemicals and, you know, toxins, whatever that you're exposed to. Of course there are other ways as well, like, you know, nasin alone or exercise alone as well, but they work through, like, you know, sweating mostly.
Yeah, I've taken some niacin sometimes before sauna. It feels pretty like intense. But I guess it's worth it. At least I feel great after after it.
Niacin is also like very famous for its cardiovascular disease benefits in lowering cholesterol, and is actually very like powerful, or very powerful in reducing cardiovascular disease risk, niacin. Just niacin alone.
So what is niacin actually?
It's a form of vitamin B3, and you know, it causes like this flush and itchiness because of like the increased blood flow and capillaries. So yeah, it's obviously not the most comfortable, but yeah, definitely has. If you want to like maximize the detox benefits of, or the cardiovascular benefits, then taking some niacin before the sauna is probably pretty pretty good effect.
I read that this flush is actually the main reason that people stop taking niacin, even though it's like non-harmful, it's just very uncomfortable for some people. Okay, so then you talked about heat shock proteins, which I think are pretty significant here, and one of the significant links from heat shock proteins are to Alzheimer's disease. So in Alzheimer's disease, basically these beta amyloid and tau proteins are starting to misfold and form these kind of plaques that are preventing normal detox processes and causing inflammation and everything. And the heat shock proteins prevent this folding of other proteins. So like folding of amyloid beta and tau protein. And there was this study that noticed, it was a longitudinal study that followed 40 years Finnish people, and let me check the actual number. It was greatly reducing the risk of Alzheimer's I think it was 65%. I cannot find the exact number at the moment. But 4 to 7 times of sauna bathing reduced the risk of Alzheimer's by 65%, which is
and
very
dementia,
significant.
And dementia, 66%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of similar trend that the more you do it, the greater the risk reduction appears to be.
Yeah.
And also, like, depression and mood issues probably.
Yeah, actually, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, who has done a lot of podcasts and research on, or like looked at the research in sauna, talked about this mechanism in depression. And there was one review article from Jari Laukkanen, who has conducted most of the Finnish sauna research, talking about the mechanism, possible mechanism on depression. We don't really know yet what causes it.
Mm.
But one possible mechanism is that sauna actually increases these, well, endorphins, first of all, but it also elevates these dynorphins, which are like opposite to endorphins. So they actually make you feel sad or bad. Yeah, or it elevates these factors.
Mm.
But the dynorphins actually bind to the kappa receptors, which increases the sensitivity of opioid receptors. And these opioid receptors is where endorphins bind to. So it increases the sensitivity of the endorphin receptors. And this makes the endorphins like more effective.
Wow.
So via that route, it's possibly elevating the mood quite a lot.
Does it have any BDNF effects?
Yes, yeah. The regular sauna use increases BDNF, which can be also like growth factors in general, like IGF-1 as well. So muscle growth, brain growth, growth in general. That can be one of the effects because in depression, usually they have lower production of BDNF. And then there is anti-inflammatory benefits. So all of these like major things that are linked to depression, inflammation, lowered BDNF, lowered ability to feel pleasure, it's upregulated in sauna use. And they have found that just like doing again this 4 to 7 times a week of sauna also decreases the risk of having any psychotic or psychiatric disorder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, feels very invigorating mentally or refreshing to do the sauna. I noticed that, yeah, like just mood or, I mean, sleep improves generally as well. And from the detox side, then other things that you can notice is skin health, joint health, just muscle soreness, muscle pain, subjective, like those are the subjective feeling that you can like expect from taking a sauna regularly.
And it also reduces cortisol by 10 to 40%. Regular sauna use. So also another anti-inflammatory, anti-stress benefit. It's like, yeah, what have you noticed personally? What are your main, you know, benefits or main feelings when you use sauna compared to when you don't use sauna? Have you ever not used sauna, actually?
Yeah, well, when I was studying in the UK, then I didn't use the sauna for pretty much like an entire year. But I think the biggest thing that I notice is just muscle like aches and soreness. So if you exercise a lot, then you do have like a bit more like stiffness, but the sauna is a great way to kind of, yeah, supple, become more supple again and less stiff. Generally, that's what I noticed the most. Other things that you can't like feel are like your insulin sensitivity and like growth hormone and the heat shock proteins, things you can't feel, but yeah, like subjectively I feel, yeah, like less sore, better sleep, better skin, just better mood, and I mean like less water weight, a little bit, like you sweat out the water weight a little bit, less puffiness, whatever that means. And yeah, you know, this kind of, that's kind of things that you can feel and see more subjectively. What about you?
Yeah, I have the same. I am pretty, I'm easily prone to have muscle stiffness and muscle pain. So sauna especially infrared sauna for some reason is very effective for me to reduce the joint pain and reduce muscle pain. Regular sauna, it's like super relaxing for me. I usually sleep very well, but it depends on the time when I use the sauna. And let's talk about the protocols as well a bit later, because there are like a few key things that you need to take into consideration so you don't cause the adverse effects in sauna. But like, yeah, sleep and just stress relaxation. One thing that in our culture is very significant is that this sauna is also a time of like socializing. So you would take a sauna with your friends and there you just, you know, relax together and talk about stuff. And there is like this saying in Finland that the best business deals are made in sauna. So usually when you come to some sort of business conference meeting in Finland, if it's like organized by Finns, they would have a sauna. And that's, you know, the time when you are almost like everybody's in the same line. There is like, you're literally like unmasked or like you're just like at your most authentic self in sauna. And because you are so relaxed and everything, it's like easier to kind of bond with people. And some of the studies that looked into the mental health benefits are actually thinking that this is one of the mechanism by which sauna improves mental well-being and health.
Interesting.
Yeah, but for us it's almost the same. It's like if we have an intense working day or whatever and we take sauna, it's just like this kind of common relaxation moment and the ability to just be. Like there is nothing else you can do in sauna. There is like you cannot like get distracted by, oh, I'm gonna do this work thing or I'm gonna clean a little bit there. It's just like, you know, you just are. It's very mindful, I think. It's a moment of mindfulness for sure and kind of meditative.
Yeah, that's true. With the infrared specifically, there are some slight differences in terms of the benefits. Like the cardiovascular disease and Alzheimer's and all the benefits that you get from the regular sauna, you generally get from the infrared as well. But with the difference would be, the main difference is that the infrared wavelengths penetrate deeper into your tissue. And they can like reach the joints, they can reach the organs, and they would have like a more direct effect on those regions of the body as well. So like more like probably joint pain and like bone pain and those things would be more improved with the infrared sauna.
Yeah, I can feel this definitely personally.
Yeah, and the infrared light actually also reaches the brain and stimulates neurogenesis and synaptogenesis, which again has like a, you know, good effect on neurodegeneration
and blood flow to the brain as well.
Yeah,
and everything like cellular repair in the brain, pretty much the same effect that in the body.
Yeah, and you know, the near infrared light specifically, when it reaches the brain, then it also helps to stimulate melatonin, which has, you know, a good effect on sleep directly. So like, you know, part of the reason why the sunlight helps with melatonin is that the near infrared light, you know, touches your skin and stimulates melatonin in the evening. So that's, you can mimic or artificially create with the infrared sauna as well to a certain extent, which you can't do it with like the regular heat sauna. I think that the heat sauna, because it's a bit hotter, then you can get more like cardiovascular benefits, like more aerobic capacity and VO2 max. But with the infrared sauna, you get more of like the joint, the brain, and the melatonin benefits.
Yeah, one thing that they have found is that it can reduce chronic pain, the experience of chronic pain, and even like frequent migraines, it can reduce those. So I obviously have talked about my migraines and that I had been a chronic migraineur, pretty severe case when I was younger. I've always used sauna. I haven't done like control trial with myself that I would just stop sauna use and see if my migraines increase, but I do feel like if I'm having a migraine, I wouldn't go to sauna because it can actually increase the feelings of the pain. But in between the migraines, if I use sauna, I can feel that it just does so good to the muscle tension and everything. So I think all of these anti-inflammatory benefits, reducing muscle tension, all of these, especially with tension headaches, are very helpful. And there are also some exercise benefits, right? That increases the efficacy of your strength training then.
Well, I mean, in some ways, yeah, like the less soreness after exercise, that can speed up recovery, and the growth hormone release that can help with maintaining muscle mass. So yeah, like actually the mice in my studies where I have been like disabled, like artificially disabled, the zona use like slows down the muscle loss and maintains the muscle tissue, which is obviously very good for, you know, frailty and sarcopenia in older age. But even younger, like I like to do the sauna, and I noticed that, yeah, like ability to maintain muscle is very good, even if you are doing like more longer fasting windows and stuff like that. You know, going back to the preconditioning hormesis aspect, so like if you are, you know, your body gets used to the heat over time, so it causes less stress to your system. And one of the like limiting factors for exercise performance is your body temperature rising. So if your body overheats during exercise, that's where you start to see a performance decrease. And if you postpone that because your body is heat acclimated, which means that you're pretty much used to the heat and you maintain a lower body temperature during exercise because of the regular sauna exposure, then that will have a positive effect on exercise performance as well. And the sauna, the preconditioning hormesis with sauna also reduces like lactate accumulation during exercise. So yeah, like your body is more efficient at pretty much exercising, or it reaches the threshold later. So you postpone when you see a performance drop off during exercise.
Do you remember any of the, because I remember reading that there was something like 40% increase in the growth hormone or something after the exercise if you go to sauna. Do you remember seeing those stats? Or it was a long time ago when I read this, so I might be wrong, but
I don't recall the after the exercise, but generally even like just 30 minutes of sauna, that raises like 200% of growth hormone. And if you do it like multiple times, so 30 minutes multiple times a day, then that actually found like 480 or something percent.
Wow.
So yeah, like it's a lot of growth hormone. So yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, so great benefits of sauna use. Arguably, like we are, like there is no doubt that pretty much anyone can benefit from regular sauna use. So I want to just briefly touch the adverse effects of sauna use, because it's not all black and white, like nothing is all black and white. So you kind of need to be still responsible sauna user. I mean, it is very high heat, 80 degrees Celsius. No natural climate where humans live do have those temperatures all the time. There was, I checked, there was this review article of 40 studies that looked at the adverse effects of sauna use, and there were 8 that reported some adverse symptoms, but they were mainly mild symptoms. And the most common symptom or the major complaint was actually this mild heat discomfort, which is the most likely the benefit or for
gives
the
most benefits, yeah.
It gives the benefits of actually the endorphin benefits that we just talked previously. It's actually a good thing in a sense. But of course, if you start feeling like your heart is pounding and everything feels just super uncomfortable, then you need to be careful with that one as well. There were other mild complaints, which was lowered blood pressure, hypovolemia, polyurination, weight loss, even acute bronchitis and claustrophobia experienced in the sauna room. But they were mostly for one single person. So, I mean, of course, if you're claustrophobic and you go into a tiny sauna room, then, you know.
Maybe a glass sauna.
Yeah, so a glass sauna or just a bigger sauna, like infrared saunas tend to be pretty small. There were no severe effects, adverse effects, and usually lowering the sauna temperature helped. So, for example, this discomfort of the heat, if you have a little bit milder sauna, then that helped with these symptoms. Then in Laukkanen's study with the dementia that I cited before, they noticed that if the sauna was like 100 degrees Celsius, which is how much that would be?
220 something.
Yeah, 220 Fahrenheit. that was actually associated with more risk of dementia.
Mm.
So you need to keep the temperature somewhere like reasonable, and it doubled the dementia risk.
Wow.
With this high heat of sauna to compared to those who were bathing at 80 degrees Celsius. And so this like severe heat stress increases the permeability of the blood-brain barrier, which which basically then facilitates toxin going into the brain, and it's just not a good thing.
You know, there's not more is better. It's there is a bell curve to the benefits, that the most benefits are somewhere like in the moderate, like 70 to 80 degrees Celsius. You know, one of the major dangers is also sperm quality and sperm motility.
Mm.
So sauna is actually used as a contraceptive, at least like in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, so it pretty much, you know, reduces sperm count a lot. So the heat shuts down spermatogenesis, so you stop producing sperm, and it also reduces total sperm count and can make you like quote-unquote infertile as a man if you do it too much. I don't think that applies to women. Women probably are safe in that sense. They don't get that response. But men, yeah, like excess heat on the testicles reduces sperm count and, yeah, reduces fertility. So if you use a lot of sauna, probably like, you know, 7 times a week, and you heat up the testicles a lot, then that will reduce your fertility as well a lot. Of course, there are ways to get around it, like you can cool down the testicles with an ice pack or cold water after that. But yeah, like you don't want to get exposed to too much heat on the testicles, specifically for the fertility reasons. And also for men, like the heat raises prolactin, which reduces dopamine and reduces testosterone. So yeah, for men, it's actually not the best to like do too much sauna like every day. I wouldn't say that it's the best to do every day. Like 4 times a week probably for men is where you get most of the health benefits, but you don't
use the risk,
yeah, or you don't get the fertility and other benefits. Of course, I mean, it depends if you want to conceive or not. If you do, then yeah, like probably at that, around that time, you want to reduce the sauna use for a little bit, because I mean the sperm will resume, or you will resume to the production. If it's just, if it's hot, then it stops for that time being. You just need to cool down first and take a few days off or something, and then it will resume. But for females, I think that it actually improves their hormones and fertility.
Yeah. So actually, with this frequency thing, I think one of the main benefits of the frequency is because it resembles exercise. So if you're in sauna, your heart rate rises. It's like comparable to moderate to high intensity exercise. So it's almost like you were running or something. So if you are doing less of cardiovascular exercise, for example, then that might be what explains the frequency, but it's partially. And just the relaxation, if that's a place, for example, where you are really relaxed, mindful, you know, not really worrying about anything else. So if you are already exercising a lot, if you have meditation practice and have those like sort of other benefits from elsewhere, then, you know, 4 times a week is probably plenty of, or like enough for sure for majority of the people.
Yeah. Like most of the studies are done on people who probably don't exercise. So yeah, like the average person doesn't do any cardio, which is why probably there is like this linear increase in the benefits.
So yeah, now we talk about the frequency of sauna use. What other sauna protocols? So basically we have like a heat source, we have the time, hydration, things like that that changes a little bit or needs to be taken into consideration when you use sauna. So in the studies, they usually, the greatest benefits are associated with sauna bathing for more than 18 minutes. So about 20 to 30 minutes is kind of like the optimal zone, but already if you do 10 minutes, that's going to be beneficial.
Yeah.
But it's just if you want to optimize the benefits, then 20 minutes, also the Celsius degrees, so like 80 degrees, if you in the studies, they noticed if it was a little bit colder sauna, it wasn't that effective. Mm. And also because in Finland, I think it's also a correlation a little bit, because in Finland, we just tend to heat it up to 80 degrees.
Mm.
That is just the habit that we do. So that's why they study mostly this 80 degrees Celsius temperature. And yeah, that's the duration. And we have, at least in Finland, we have this kind of intermittent cooling. So as well here in Estonia, like you would go into sauna and then after 15 minutes, maybe you take a cold shower. Mm. Or we go rolling in the snow, for example, in Finland. That's like very typical. But most of the places, most of the gyms or, you know, places where they have sauna, they have a shower at least. So, you know, going into cold shower is like pretty important to cooling the body so that you won't get this too elevated body temperature and get your heart strained or...
Yeah, because, you know, the heat shock proteins can also have a negative effect if they stay elevated for too long. So you do want to like cool down the body a little bit maintain the benefits.
Mm. One thing that I do always when I go to sauna outside of Finland is I check the meters that they have in the wall.
Mm.
So usually they have 2 meters and they should have 2 meters. Yeah, one for the temperature and one for humidity. So the normal Finnish sauna is about like 10-20% humidity. But in some bad saunas that are not constructed or built so well, there is not enough ventilation.
Mm.
So the humidity rises and it starts resembling like a steam sauna almost, where the humidity is above 50%. Why high humidity is bad is because it like prevents the evaporation through the skin. So if you have a lot of humidity in the environment, you're not just that efficient in sweating, which means, because sweating is your body's way to cool down the core temperature. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sweating, you're actually accumulating heat inside your body, and that causes a lot of distress to the heart.
Mm.
So if you see like this humidity meter and it's like too high, like 30-40%, I would not stay in the sauna for that long.
Mm.
But like then you need to cool down way more often with the shower or something else, because you cannot sweat it out that efficiently. Dry sauna and steam sauna are 2 completely different things. And when you talk about sauna benefits, we always talk about the dry sauna with low humidity.
There's less studies on the steam sauna.
Yeah, I haven't seen that much. And in Finland, steam saunas are not a thing.
Mm.
There might be a occasional steam sauna in some like a swimming hall or somewhere like that, or a gym, but houses don't have steam saunas.
Mm. Infrared generally like doesn't get that hot.
Mm.
Like the maximum our infrared goes is like 55 degrees Celsius, which is maybe 110 or 120 Fahrenheit, and it doesn't even have to be. With infrared, I think that you can get away with less heat because of the wavelengths. You will still, like, the infrared sauna itself doesn't get that hot, but your body still gets to the hotness that is required because of the infrared light penetrates your body and heats it up from the inside out, which is, like a inside-out way of doing the sauna. But it does, like, your body temperature will still rise, similar to the regular sauna.
Mm.
And you get the benefits. The duration is probably also very similar with infrared sauna, so like, you know, 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, definitely.
And
almost like even like sauna, dry sauna and infrared sauna, they are sort of like different devices.
Mm.
So preferably you would like to do both of them to get the infrared benefits and to get the heat shock protein benefits and the sweating from dry sauna.
Yeah. Yeah, infrared sauna is also like skin benefits more. Like the collagen synthesis and reduced wrinkles and that kind of thing.
Whereas dry sauna may actually be counteractive to that if you don't hydrate enough.
Yeah, it can cause more wrinkles. Or
yeah,
heat stress still causes damage to the collagen. Like if it's too hot on the skin, then it will damage the collagen and causes like more wrinkles and stuff. But overall, yeah, the sauna can have anti-aging benefits on the skin. But if you do it too much and you're not like, yeah, moisturizing properly, then it actually accelerates the skin aging.
Yeah. And actually, this is also a very important aspect, like hydration. So many people get fainty or just like loses too much water because they're sweating it out. So you should always drink water before sauna, in between sauna session and after sauna. And just make sure that you also lose minerals. So something like coconut water or just electrolyte drink might be good for you if you feel that you have lost a lot of salt and minerals, and if you are sensitive to have negative effects from losing minerals. Like I, for example, I might get headache if I don't take magnesium and things like that on the days when I use the sauna. And of course, as you said, skin benefits, so also to hydrate the skin. Skin is the last place where, you know, when you drink water, skin is kind of like the last place where the water goes in. So sometimes, you know, you still get dry skin from sauna, even if you drink. So yeah, using moisturizer is like a very good practice when you use sauna.
Yeah, and like many people, especially in Finland and Estonia, like drink beer and stuff in alcohol, which is not like a smart idea generally. You know, first of all, you increase the risk of doing stupid things in the sauna, like getting too much heat and, you know, throwing too much water in the stove.
Falling.
Yeah, fainting, all those things are very possible, getting burned. But also, I think you reduce some of the health benefits from the sauna, from the alcohol. Like you block a lot of these benefits that you may get.
We even have a word for that, actually. It's so common in Finland, sauna beer.
It's here as well. But yeah, many people like it, but I don't, it's definitely not the safest or recommended way of doing it.
Yeah, it might feel more relaxing when you are having that beer, but I think it's more about the just the feeling of you holding that beer because you have associated having a beer for you relaxation.
Could, yeah, you can take the cold beer and cool down your testicles with it, but don't drink it. And food, like you wouldn't want to go with, into sauna with a full stomach or having just recently eaten, because, you know, autophagy actually protects against the heat as well. But if you block autophagy because of having eaten, then you're more vulnerable to the negative effects of the heat and the heat stress and, yeah, like the oxidative damage from the heat. So if you have like some autophagy elevated in your body above baseline from the heat already before going to the sauna as well, from like, you know, being somewhat like empty stomach, then it's safer and healthier.
And also because sauna, as we discussed, is a stressor. So like it's like eating and then going for exercise, which is not the best way, because when you are exercising and your sympathetic nervous system is elevated, it just blocks the digestion. So the other way around is better. You do sauna, and actually after sauna you get this relaxing effect, your parasympathetic nervous system activates, and if you eat after that, it's like more beneficial.
Anything else that we need to cover?
The timing of when to use sauna. So if you use it too close to bed, you may have too elevated body core temperature before the bed. So I would, it depends on a person really, what's the optimal, but I would leave at least 3 hours
between sauna. Yeah, I think even more, like four or five. Like the most optimal time to do the sauna probably is like 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Somewhere between there is probably the best time to do the sauna.
Yeah. My personal experience is like that if I do sauna in the evening, I definitely won't sleep well. And we tend to take sauna before the dinner, so like around 4, and then eat.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of general. If you do it in the morning, like immediately after waking up, I don't see any problem with that.
Actually, it's like pretty common in Finland, or it's not like the commonest thing to do, but like we basically take sauna whenever and during the day. You may just feel more relaxed during the day if you take it in the morning.
Which is, but you could also feel more tired. sometimes you get like sleepy after
sauna. Yeah, but it usually passes, like this kind of exhaustion or sleepiness. So maybe just a little bit about the sauna culture, because I think that's super interesting. It's not that just like sauna is, you know, scientifically shown to be effective and that's why we do it, but it's really integral to Finnish and Estonian culture. And some of the things in Finnish sauna culture may be like weird or surprising interesting. So like, for example, in Finland, as I said, there are saunas in almost all of the houses. It's not a luxury thing. Previously, like my great-grandmother, for example, was, what's the English word for the person who delivers babies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, anyway, many people back in the day, they gave birth in sauna, for example. That was a common practice. So to give birth at home, to give birth a sauna. And we have basically a word for sauna for every celebration. So we have midsummer sauna, Juhannus sauna, we have Christmas sauna, Joulu sauna, and like every occasion we always take a sauna.
Mm.
And you can like invite a friend over for a sauna. Some people invite for a dinner, we might like invite for a sauna.
Mm.
It's so common. In Finland, usually the habit is not wear anything in sauna, so like swimming suits or anything like that. So we go to sauna naked, except if it's like, you know, a public place or mixed genders or something, or like random people, then, you know, sometimes people wear a towel or a bathing suit, but usually like it's best for sweating and everything if you just don't wear anything. And what's Estonian sauna culture like?
Yeah, just people go to sauna usually on like the weekends, or regular people, many of them drink beer in the sauna.
Mm.
And I mean, it's very similar in the sense that, yeah, like in the past it was the kind of the cleanest place of the household, and just, you know, it was used as for like, yeah, self-cleaning and a lot of those kind of things, because there were no showers back in the day, so they just, you know, sweated all week and then went to the sauna once on the Sundays to wash themselves out. But nowadays, obviously, yeah, like people have showers and stuff like that, but they tend to use the sauna like on the weekends, something regularly.
Mm. Yeah, in Finland we have like, usually the sauna is built inside the house, so it's not a separate building.
Mm.
But in some houses it's a separate building, and some houses have this traditional wood sauna, so actually heat it up with the wood. But nowadays the electrical stove is more common. Yeah, just if you come to Finland, it's like a thing that you kind of need to do. We have one interesting day, which is a sauna day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a day, it's a national day, in which people heat up their saunas, and you have this interactive map in online.
Mm.
And you can search for saunas.
Mm.
And for the whole day you would like do sauna crawl. So you go to different saunas.
Mm-hmm.
And there is always like a sauna rules, like this is a mixed sauna, this is a swimming suit sauna, this is a sauna where you can bring your drinks, or
mm.
There is the guidelines of what kind of a sauna there is, if there is a possibility to swim or anything like that. And yeah, you can just hop from sauna to sauna during that day. Like, regular people open their houses and their saunas for other people, but you also find like the public saunas to be open usually on that sauna day. So we have a specific day for that. And in saunas, we have this birch bunch, like here in Estonia as well. So bunch of birch, and we might like gently like hit the body with that to increase the blood flow. And of course, it gives a great smell as well, these birch leaves.
Yeah,
but yeah,
a whip kind of.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I guess we covered pretty much everything here. What are the sauna benefits? What are different types of saunas? How to use the sauna safely? and a little bit about the sauna culture. And we will continue with the Q&A on Seam's channel.
Yeah, different questions like sauna blankets, whatever, those things we'll cover in the part 2.
Yeah, so check that out on Seam's channel. See you there.